Okay, welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is Wednesday, April 26th. And today I'm having the privilege of interviewing one of my close friends, Susan Neal. Now, I love Susan Neal. She's a real sweetheart. First of all, Susan, how long have you been going to our church?
Oh, gosh, you did ask me that earlier. I think 10 years.
10 years.
I'm going to say 10.
Okay, how did you find the church?
And you know what? It may be a little longer because Haley, I'm going by Haley, and he's 23. So over 10 years.
Okay, over 10 years.
And I found the church through an angel, and that's the best way to explain it. I was looking for a church home, and I was concierging at the time, and this guest came to my desk, and somehow we got on the subject of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I let her know I was looking for a church, and she lit up. Like, I light up when I'm bringing people to Marina Christian, and that's how I found it. And she disappeared.
Yeah, in fact, I do remember her. I don't remember much
Something
of her.
Something about Hawaii.
Yeah, so she moved somewhere to Hawaii. So let's go back to your childhood. Let's go back to let's get to know Susan. And so you were born and raised where?
I was born in Flint, Michigan. And I left
Flint,
there.
Michigan. Yes. Oh, good grief.
Yes. Okay. Good grief is right. And I left
I didn't know that. No wonder you're so worked up on the Flint.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's very maddening. And I left there before I was five.
Okay.
And so I was raised in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And my wife was raised in Porterville, Pennsylvania as well.
And that's Pittsburgh area?
Yeah, it's in the Pittsburgh area.
Far.
Yes. But anyway, it's interesting. And so, anyway, any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers, and I'm in the middle.
Okay, you're in the middle. And then now, when you grew up, your parents were together, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, were you young when they went through?
No, I was. They were divorcing when I was 21.
Okay.
So, no.
All right. And so, when did you move out to California?
In 84.
84.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Now, I graduated from high school in 81.
Oh, no, so I graduated in 79.
79. Mm-hmm. See, I should have graduated in 1980. But I repeated the second grade.
The second? Okay.
How can you flunk the second grade? I did. So
okay.
I was a late bloomer again. So I graduated from high school in 1981. So what were your goals and dreams? Okay, when you got out of high school and you moved to California, what were you thinking? Oh man, this is what I want to do.
Oh, I was going to be a movie star.
Oh, were you?
That's what I was going to do.
Okay.
I was going to model. I moved out here, leaving a relationship at 23.
Okay.
And I was going to be a star.
Okay.
And I didn't. It didn't happen. I landed into a job. Because I needed a job.
No.
To become a star.
So you tried, you did all the auditions? And
no, I never did it.
Okay.
I landed a job first.
Okay.
And I found that when I would get a job, my dream would be pushed
back
aside. So,
okay.
Or my employer would allow me to do auditions. But then when it started to get a momentum, instead of taking a leap of faith and saying, okay, I'm going to go pursue, I would take the job, the security, over
the dream.
Yes.
Okay.
The dream. Exactly.
Yeah.
The security over the dream.
Okay. But you still do acting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm able to pursue it 100%.
Yeah.
But this was back then.
Okay, back then. And so then did you have a dream like, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have children, I'm going to...
I did have a dream. So since I came out so young, I was going to date in North, South, East, West LA, and nobody was going to run into each other.
Okay.
I was tired of being in a solo relationship.
Right.
I wanted to play the field.
Okay.
Well, that didn't work. Because I landed into a relationship that I was in for 5 years.
Okay.
And he was Jewish.
Okay.
And that took a whole different direction because I hadn't found the Lord. I wasn't brought up in a Christian household.
Oh, you weren't?
Okay. I was brought up Unitarian, and I don't know what that is.
Unitarian, just believe, basically, everything together. Just one big...
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I didn't get that.
So you were brought up Unitarian?
Yeah, until I was old enough to make a decision if I wanted to go to church or not,
okay.
And I opted for no, so I stopped.
Okay.
And so I was very open to learning other things, so when I was with this person, I was going to convert.
Okay.
I was almost to the point
to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because there were talks of marriage, there was talks of future,
right.
There was talks of the child is considered Jewish if the mother is converted, and that would make the family. I was in an interracial relationship as well, so there was other dynamics going on.
Okay.
So it was easier for me to acquiesce and become what they wanted instead of like, oh, maybe not. But then he was removed from my life.
So how you just guys broke up or just?
No, I broke up with him. I became sober. Okay. So I was also doing drugs.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. And not only just drinking, but doing
drugs
as well.
Because 23 to 28, I was with him, and it was the cocaine and the marijuana and the drinking.
So what clicked in Susan's head to say, this isn't enough. I'm done with the drugs. I mean,
then I'm going to kill myself? Yeah. Laying up at night, late at night with your heart, you can hear your heart pound. You can't sleep because you've taken way too much of cocaine.
Okay.
And you're laying there. I couldn't go into the bedroom because I would have made, everyone would have been awake.
Right.
So I'm laying on the couch listening to the paper boy throw the paper on the porch, and I'm laying there going, is this really what I want? And I reached out. I remember reaching out and calling a helpline.
Oh, really?
While I was...
Like those 1-800 numbers?
Yeah, I actually did call.
Oh, wow.
I called, and I talked to the lady, and I remember talking to her, but just that little planting started something, and I started looking at him differently because he was dealing it. So I was with a dealer.
Oh, okay.
So I never... So when I came into the program, I was called a high bottom because I didn't go low. I didn't... don't want to toot my horn, because any way you come in is a blessing if you get sober.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to strawberry. I didn't have to prostitute myself in it because I was dating the
Okay.
And my pattern was, even in Harrisburg, I was dating the weed head.
Okay.
So I never had to come. They're like, did you lose anything? Just the man. And yeah, you know, yeah, I did, but I never lost anything myself.
Right.
I was able.
So then you broke up with him at 28 years old. Did you go into and did you go into a sobriety place?
Yes.
Or,
No. Not a place. Okay. I went into sobriety willingly, but I didn't go. I stayed there. I stayed with him a year because they suggest. I mean, he wasn't an abusive or anything, but I had no backup plan.
Yeah.
I had no money saved.
Right.
So I stayed, and I, you know, he allowed me to go to meetings, and he kept, you know, he would say things like, you're not really that bad.
Okay.
You know, and those little things that,
yeah,
you know, I was like, no. And then once the rose-colored glasses went off, I don't even know if I was there a year, but I was there long enough to get my act together, and then I moved into my first apartment.
Okay. Oh, so and how many years ago was that? That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So you've been sober for, at 28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
for the most part.
So,
you know, I think sometimes people just switch their addictions. You know, I mean, sober is a broad term.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can shop now. You can take NyQuil. You know, I mean, there's so many different
absolutely
ways.
Right,
you know, so,
absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
But I am sober
from the cocaine. So then, so you had this new freedom in life, you know, this new perspective of life. So when did you decide, okay, look, I need to get my life right with God? Is that when you decided to be?
When I got pregnant. So when I left him, I lived with my cousins and lived on my own. I lived with my own, leading me further and further away from that, from him. And then my mom was entertaining moving out. She and I had healed our relationship.
Okay.
And then
when you became pregnant with Haley, and Haley is incredible.
It was almost like 10 years later I became pregnant. So during that 10 years, I was doing dating.
Okay. And so, therefore, did you move back to Harrisburg?
No, I never moved back.
So you were a single mother in Los Angeles now.
And my mom was out here.
Your mother was
my
out here.
My mom moved out here.
Okay.
When I was pregnant.
And then, did you say, okay, I'm recommitting my life to Christ after Haley was born, or just...
Yeah. When I had that little fella, I said, I do not want him to have the struggles that I've been having until now.
Right.
I want him to know that there is something greater than him.
Right.
Because the walls of AA, they teach you a higher power, and they say if you want to pray to the lamp.
Right.
The lamp is your higher power right now. But it's all seed planting leading you to God, and I get it. And it's so simple, but so hard. It can be so hard.
Right.
And I didn't want my son. I wanted to train him up.
Right.
And that was what I did. So okay. That was, so then I knew I had to follow. I'm like, don't do as I say, not as I do. I wanted to immerse myself.
Right. So you recommitted yourself. Mm-hmm. So the thing is,
I committed, period. I don't even know if it was a recommit, because I didn't know anything. And I started off looking at black churches.
Okay.
And I went in a Pentecostal because it was really loud.
Right.
And Haley could scream a lot. You know, because I didn't really trust dropping my child off at the nursery.
Right.
I wanted him with. So I was more accepted in the black churches because you could have your children, for the most part, with them. And the mom, the mothers of the church would, oh, he's so cute. And they catch him the first time. And then they look at you like, you need to get your child. But you can... A kid could be a kid in the Pentecostal because you can't hear and the music's so loud. And then I was dating a guy who was a Pentecostal. It's true.
But I
left there and I.
So you dated this is your first Christian guy you started dating.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say he was. Yes.
Okay. And so you were dating for.
And
he
was a PK.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, that means you messed up.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Trust
he
me.
He played in the band. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fascist kid too.
Yes,
you're messed
a
up. So,
yeah.
So what are some of the struggles? Now, this is one thing that you and I, we just had lunch before we met here. And one of the things I was going to ask Susan that she hasn't told me yet, but as a white person, I love to learn about different races and different things. And I think ignorance in our world here today is because we don't learn from other races. We don't learn from other people. So I'm going to ask this question. She never told me, but when did you first discover that you were black?
The first discovery of it and not explained was when we moved on to our street and we were the second black family on the street.
Okay.
The first black family got run out because the KKK burned a cross on their lawn.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
and this is in Harrisburg?
In Harrisburg,
okay.
Yeah. And we lived in a, I guess it was an old military housing community.
Right.
That's what I found out later. Our military, it provided military housing.
Right.
So I remember my dad washing off of the side of our house, nigger. I don't think it said nigger go home, it just said nigger.
Okay.
And he was wiping it off. And I knew it was bad,
all right.
But it was never explained
and
to me.
And how old were you?
Oh, we just moved there. So
okay.
I was maybe six.
Six?
But I knew something was...
So that's still a vivid memory at 6 years old,
yeah,
seeing your dad wash...
Wiping it off, washing it off, the graffiti. And you could kind of feel eyes on you. You could feel the neighbors looking through their curtains.
Oh, really?
And the neighbors next door, my mom did not like them at all, but they had kids, and we didn't see... We saw kids to play, so she allowed me to have a friendship with this family. And I remember driving with them in the car, and it was a station wagon. And last name was Kunkel. And a black man was walking across the car, and we were sitting there. And you always were a little nervous around Mr. Kunkel, because you never know which
direction. Okay, that's his name.
That's
his
name.
Mr. Kunkel?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said, "Hurry up, nigger!" And he looked at me. I'm sorry, and did like that, and
really?
I just kind of shrunk because I knew it was awful.
Yeah.
And his wife did the obligatory, you know, hit whack, and she never looked at me, and I was like.
Then did you keep that from your mom?
Yeah, I never told my mom that. And the other day when I was home, I said, "Oh, I could tell you some stories about him," and she said, "You don't have to," because she saw enough of their behavior.
Yeah, because it's interesting as a 6-year-old. That all of a sudden,
I was older than that because she allowed me to play with them. So I was a
part
of
the
family.
But you felt like you had to keep it a secret almost.
Yeah, I know. Because I knew she wouldn't let me back in that car. I knew she never let me swim in their pool. It was above ground and she thought that was trashy anyways. So, anyways.
They are trashy pools.
It's like a toilet bowl. She says it's like a toilet bowl.
Yeah.
And I remember being on the bus and the word nigger came out and the quiet that happens when the word comes out.
Right.
And the eyes look at you.
Right, yeah.
Because it wasn't directed to me.
Right.
But they look, and that's when you know it's something that is just not kind.
Right.
Not kind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So
those are three incidents.
Yeah. but within the same...
I could keep going.
You could keep going
like
all the way to last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
this skin entitles, not entitles, that's, this skin comes with so much.
So much, yeah.
So much, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going, let's go back to when you and Haley,
mm-hmm.
and did you try to protect Haley from that?
I did not. I was just honest with okay. him and made sure that he was in a diverse, as it wasn't all okay. one way, wasn't all,
right.
even though, you know, most of my mom friends were single black
okay.
women and we all had boys. It just gravitated
right.
like that. But he was in a diverse school. I had him
right.
in Christian school.
Okay.
So throughout here, I kept him, once I plugged into Christianity, I kept him in.
The Christian schools.
Yeah, all the way that he went to you at University of San Francisco. So
yeah.
he went to a Jesuit.
Now, we had the privilege of visiting them.
Yes,
Jennifer and I did in San Francisco. It was a cool little university.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
It's a great campus.
And where he was living with a bunch of other guys, mm-hmm. it was a beautiful... It was a huge house.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, San Francisco's by the water. So it's not like you have to go far to get to the ocean or to
mm-hmm.
the bay.
And he's so I kept him plugged in a diverse
world. Yeah. So, okay, now...
But I exposed him to his blackness.
Right.
I didn't hold any bones back.
So we were talking about where you were dating a lot, kind of dating different guys in different cities. Then you guys...
No, I didn't say that.
No.
Said that was my wish.
Oh, your wish.
It never happened. See, please get started. Let's
okay.
just back off.
Okay.
That was my dream, because I was coming
okay.
out of a relationship
okay,
at 23
that was, okay.
to move here, and I'm like, I'm tired. I just want to date around.
Right.
And it didn't happen.
But it didn't happen. You went to
I've always been
girl.
Like a one.
The one
solo,
girl. Okay,
yeah.
one solo. I think everyone has those fantasies every once in a while.
I'd be so confused. I wouldn't know who I was talking to.
I know. It's just... Okay.
Anyways.
So then, are you starting to think, like, okay, these men are just a bunch of boneheads?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I had Haley, made me realize I need to be a lot more discerning.
Okay.
And so I did the web, the dating sites.
Oh, no. Did you really?
Yeah. That's how I met that one that sent me over the edge, which we'll get to
okay.
him. Yeah, Match.com.
Okay.
In the beginnings, and then I did the eHarmony. If they had a special, I'd go on for a weekend.
Okay.
But it was always, in the beginning, eHarmony was predominantly white.
Right.
Now it's probably, I hear it's wonderful. You know, there's a lot more diverseness.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but I did a lot of stop-start on that.
Okay.
Because I felt like you're plugging in your true feelings,
right.
you know, not realizing that it's not always going to be reciprocated
okay.
on the other end.
Okay, but your whole dream that one day I want to be married.
Oh, yes, that was always a desire.
I want to be a husband.
From my heart. Mm-hmm.
And so, and you were in your 30s when you had Haley.
Yes, 30.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 30 years old when you had Haley. So usually, because I remember when I was 30, I was single. I was going through a divorce. And I was going, oh, it's over. You know, just, I don't know about you, but sometimes... When you turn 30, you think you're so old. And if you're not married by 30...
Yeah, so a woman's clock starts
yeah,
ticking.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
stuff like this. So you go... You're moving, in a sense, getting frustrated. And then later on, you did get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was the one I met on Match.com. And he just... He was the worst of the worst that made all the other ones... worser, if that's the word.
Okay.
But it was kind of like the flesh I needed to bring me to my knees to say, I'm done, Lord. Because I was doing the picking.
Right.
I had a list, everything.
Right.
And yeah, you'll get everything on your list and be careful.
Yeah.
You know, be careful. Is it really what you want?
Yeah.
So that's
because I don't know if the privilege, I shouldn't say privilege, but I met him.
Yeah, you met him.
And I've noticed there's a big difference between you then and you now.
Yes.
The huge difference. And I think...
I didn't have a voice.
No. And it's almost like you had to be very careful.
Yeah, I was on eggshells.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
How you acted, how you respond, how you talked and said. And it was
I did a dance.
Yeah,
I lost
it was
weight.
Fear.
It was fear.
Yeah.
I was afraid and I was thinking this was it. But I knew in my heart it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then when I met his mother. We took a trip to San Francisco, and his sister was graduating or something, and his mother came along on the trip. Uh-huh. And I watched their interaction, and then I knew he doesn't like his mother.
Oh,
and he does not like his mother, and that is not cool at all.
Yeah.
You know, and then it...
So then you broke up.
Yes. With,
and this is where you get to
the... And the point. Diamond was fake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a story. He gave a beautiful engagement ring to
her. It was a big one. And I was
And it was a big one. And she realized it was a fake one.
Because I had that one friend that goes, you should get this looked at. And I'm like, I think I should. And I was afraid to because I knew it was fake.
Yeah.
You know, everything about him was
fake. It was fake.
Yeah.
And so when you got out of a relationship, I think you, when the conversation that you and I had, you were done.
Mm-hmm.
You were just done. And you were in your late 40s by then, right?
Yeah, I was 48.
48 years old.
Yeah,
going, I'm never going to get married, and I don't want to get married.
I was 48 or 49, yes.
Yeah, and done, okay? Which is interesting.
But I knew.
Yeah, it's interesting too, Susan, that we actually prayed that one, you know, for many years.
I remember.
That you would meet somebody that would respect you, that would care deeply about you and treat you well, and that you would feel safe.
Mm-hmm. That was very important.
Yeah, that was important. So then all of a sudden, this Prince Charles...
Prince Charming, not Charles. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
This Prince Charming comes. Now, do you remember when you first... bumped into him when you had a conversation?
Yeah, I remember when I met Dennis.
Okay, tell me about that.
My girlfriend called and she had been telling me about him, and I'm like, no, because in my list, he's too old, he got too many kids, he even married how many times? Oh, no. My list was no.
Wait, she's like, your old list, it didn't work, and then you got
I
new
had
list,
the nerve to, like,
and then
there's a, with my
no,
new list.
No, it's not going to
no,
work.
No,
it's too
no,
old.
No, he lives in Florida. Oh,
okay.
No.
All right. So everything that she's trying to set you up, the age, she's been married before, you live in Florida.
And she wasn't setting up for us to meet and get married and run off to the sunset.
Okay.
She was setting up with an ulterior motive because Dennis was in the back of his head thinking of relocating, and they've been friends forever.
Okay.
And have a business arrangement and get a bigger place.
Okay.
He has his own, da da da. And, you know, you can go see Susan and... You know.
Yeah, okay.
No, that was her thinking,
okay.
And it backfired.
Okay. All right, oh, okay. So then, when did you realize this could be it?
Gosh, that night when I met him, and he gave me a hug, and he sniffed me. I was like, did you just inhale? Did you just sniff me? And he said, yup. And I was like, that
Wait.
Was strange.
So,
he hugged me.
Okay, he hugged you. Okay.
He took a deep breath of me. And I was like, huh.
And you even said, did you sniff me?
I said, did you just sniff me? And he said, yep, I did. And so I'm telling you, when it was a small intimate gathering,
right.
So it was only a few of us.
Yeah.
And he was sitting on the couch and I was standing up talking. And it was almost like my angel I was pushed onto the couch.
Okay.
Nobody was around to push me.
Right.
And when I plop, you know, I'm a plopper.
Right.
So when I plopped down, I plopped so close to Dennis that our knees touched and there was an electrical charge.
Okay.
That we both went, looked at each other like, that was different.
Right.
And so I just kind of went, And I think when he turned... Okay, this is when I knew. I didn't see him the next day because I worked. And then the next day after that, my girlfriend Victoria was supposed to come meet me. And
right.
She couldn't come meet me because her husband's plane came in early.
Right.
Something, a goof. And
right.
I was like, oh, girl, I was expecting you. So my friend called and she was on her way to breakfast with Dennis.
Okay.
And she said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm so frustrated. Victoria, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't like a bad thing,
right.
But I'm like, I don't know what to do now.
Right.
And
right.
She goes, oh, you mean you don't have any plans? And I heard a screeching of wheels.
Uh-huh.
And I said, is he turning the car around? And she said, uh-huh. Because she's on the phone going, uh-huh. So
all right.
We'll be there in 10 minutes and pick you up. And
okay.
I was like, well, this is different.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of clicking at that point
right.
That he turned the car around. And we vibed respectfully.
Okay.
And I think what also clicked, all the women, and my friend has lots of girlfriends, So there was, it was an intimate gathering, and there were friends there, and we were meeting people throughout, and I've known her friends anyways.
Right.
Not one person had a bad thing to say, like, girl, he's a player,
yeah.
or not. He's like, he is respectful. He loves women. He loves women, not loves women.
Right.
He is so respectful and kind. It was always kind. He's very kind. He's very kind. So then I kind of went, And then when he stayed the extra week, because he came for 2 weeks, and he stayed the extra week purposefully.
Okay.
It was the start of the courtship.
Okay. So you guys started the courtship. And then you pretty much knew this is going to be it. And so you guys got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then
5 months.
5 months. Yeah, that's funny, because I got engaged within 6 months. You know when you know, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you... No, she's counting her fingers.
Yeah, 5 months. It's 5 months, babe.
Yeah. It's 5 months, babe. Don't get it wrong. And so, but then all of a sudden, Dennis got sick.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
He got cancer.
Okay.
And we got engaged March 17th. And before that, after the courtship, he went back to Florida and we Skyped for 2 months, and then he came, or the month, yeah, 2 months, and he came out New Year's. We spent time, then he flew me back and forth, and then he put a ring on in March, and I think a week or 2 weeks later, I can't remember how.
Okay, so
okay,
it was very close.
Yes.
To right after you got engaged, you're in this, look, I'm in my 50s now, or
yeah,
close to 50.
Yeah, I got engaged in 50, yeah.
You were 50.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I got engaged. I finally met. And then within a few days...
We get that bomb.
You get the bomb. Dennis has cancer.
Mm-hmm, the C word.
So, okay. Tell me where you were emotionally then. Did you go into some kind of fighting mode, or did you just...
Yeah, I went into fight, like, I'm going to fight with you.
Okay.
I was like, well, it's for better, for worse, so this is the worst.
Okay.
And that's what we said. We got our worst and better.
Okay.
And that's what we said.
Now, if you listen...
I never even hesitated.
Okay. Now, if you listen to Dennis' podcast, which was a couple months ago, he talked about this situation as well,
mm-hmm.
and he gave you a way out.
He did. He gave me an out.
Then
he told me
about that.
I would understand completely if you do not want to stay with me, if you do not want to go on this... journey,
okay.
or if you don't want to take this on. I forget how he said it, because this is a life-changing, he's like, it's not, you know, it's not like anything I've ever experienced.
Right.
I don't want to bring you into this, we're still too new, and you know, you got the rest of your life, and so do you.
Okay.
You know, so I'm like, no, I'm here, I'm good.
Okay, were you offended when he said that, or were you like, oh,
I understood why he would say that.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't like we've been married 5 years.
Right.
And then, you know, how
right.
dare you say
yeah.
that? Or, all right, here, I'm packing my stuff up. You
Which
know,
a lot of people do that.
I'm sure, you know, but no, I wasn't offended.
Right.
I was scared. I
yeah.
was scared. Because some of my friends weren't being, not that they're friends today, but some people were like, Raleigh, you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
You know.
Because they were...
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't do it. So
yeah.
I was like, that's you.
Yeah.
You know, so gosh, kick a dog while he's down, you know?
Yeah.
That's
a big
that
kick, and that's a big down, too.
It's a big
too.
Down. So I stayed.
So you stayed. Now, how long how long did this... Now,
he's
the thing is, he's been
cancer-free
for how long?
Oh, gosh. We've been married 4 years. He's three. And
okay.
I may have butchered it, babe. But
okay, maybe about the cancer-free for about three. But in that time, that period of chemos or surgery, I don't remember the details, but that was almost a year, was it, or 9 months?
No, it was a couple years. It
couple
was a year,
years.
A year of like, wow.
Okay.
You know, we both bond. I mean, if it won't break you, makes you so strong. And
yeah.
if you're a couple, and you know, it can break.
The thing is, did that affect your life with Christ too? I mean, obviously,
it made it stronger.
Yeah.
You have to rely on, you know, I know you gave me this for a reason, and, you know, this is not a bad thing. You know, there's no accidents, and I'm
right.
glad I'm here on this journey with
right.
you.
Right.
You know.
So, and I had the privilege of doing the wedding,
mm-hmm.
which was a fun wedding.
It was.
It was just a fun and a very...
It was the best one I've ever been to.
That's true.
That's in your face.
That's true. The best one you've ever
I've ever been to.
That's good. In fact, it's the second best that I've been to.
Okay, see, that's fair.
Is that fair? But it was a fun wedding. It was a fun wedding. And so he moved out here, and then you live in your old place that you grew up.
I
grew up with Haley and stuff.
And the blessing was we got a new landlord, so it was like we got a clean slate.
Yeah,
you know,
a clean slate.
And it's rent control, so we're not moving.
I know, you know, can't afford to move. Now, tell us about Haley. Haley is the jewel, the love of your life, too.
Mm-hmm. He's my 23.
And he graduated from college in San Francisco a few years ago.
Right.
Tell us what he's doing now.
He just got hired at Nike, in the emerging markets.
Okay.
So he's an international student. He graduated with international studies and a minor in China.
Okay.
And he went to China a couple times.
Okay.
And he's worked with Nike throughout his life. And, you know, so he's up there now in Portland.
Okay.
And I'm a proud mama.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's in the country. So glad.
And you know what? I'm telling you, he is a good looking kid.
He's,
he's just a good character.
Good young man.
I mean,
yes,
good looking inside and out.
Yeah, he's good.
And so now this conversation that Susan and I have, and it's about our parents. And as you guys know who's listened to the podcast, my mother is dealing with dementia and she's on stage 7. And so, which is tough. It's tough in your 50s. And I always say your decade in your 50s is hard because you say goodbye to your children, like going to college, and you also say goodbye to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult as well. And I remember you had a special relationship with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us about that.
Well, I was a daddy's girl.
Okay.
Plain and...
And I'm a mama's boy.
See?
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And my dad... I'd say we had the kind of relationship that was, it was across the miles.
Right.
And it was love.
Yeah.
And I think we ended liking each other.
Okay.
And I would tell him while I was kissing him, there is a difference, you know.
Yeah.
He knew what I meant.
Right.
And so he was the kind of dad that would help a lot. He
right.
helped financially
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I would trade all that in to have maybe a more close
right.
relationship.
Yeah.
But I got to spend his last days with him, and I knew what my purpose was in spending the last days with
right.
him was to help him transition.
Right.
And that's the best honor that a daughter could have, to help me have closure.
But see, a lot of people, and this is where I kind of want to focus on it for a minute here. A lot of children like ourselves
mm-hmm.
in our 50s, it is too hard to be with our parents at the last couple hours or last days and stuff like that. So there's an emotional drainage. But what you're saying is there's no regrets. It's hard.
It was hard as...
Okay.
Yes.
But she used the F word
yes.
now. But okay, so it's hard as hell.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
Hard as hell.
Okay. So, but any regrets?
None. I say I'm going none.
Right.
More time would be.
Yeah.
I would wish that I would have had more time. And when I realized why I was there, I'd say there's no regrets. First of all.
Right.
But when I think about it, and everything was such a blur when I was at the hospital and I went to go see him because my brother called me and said he had left. And I was so happy he had left because then I could go spend time with my dad.
Right.
And when I went there by myself, he was looking that far away look.
Right.
And he was seeing people. And so I just started ministering. And I was like, here's grandma. You know, I was talking about my
right.
auntie,
right.
his sister. Come get them. They're here. I was all
right.
the I knew that I was the female to help him
transition.
Go. Transition.
Transition.
He's always been. My mom, my grandma, my auntie's, his wife,
right.
Pat. I knew she was there.
Right.
And I was like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I remember whispering in his ear before he even got to the stage that he got to. He was still in the emergency waiting on a room. And finally, I had some privacy with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I whispered, I said, I don't know if this is it. But if it isn't, then we'll laugh about this.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is, then I'm here.
Yeah.
And he kind of just looked. And I was like, and then I knew when I was to be.
Right. And so, because I sensed that Because when you called me, I was in San Francisco.
And I don't remember. You were telling me, but I was like, I don't remember calling you.
Oh, really? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you were broken. And obviously, you know, it's your dad. It's your dad, and it's really deep and stuff like that. So we'll look back, okay, at this interview. Because I wouldn't say your life has been easy, you know. But you look back at, hey, I'm moving out. You know, I grew up in Harrisburg. I just, you know, had these terrible experiences with racism at 6 years old.
Through
life.
Through life.
Okay. So you've just been labeled just by the color of your skin, mm-hmm. and stuff like this. And so then you moved, you fell in love with this Jewish guy, you were on all kinds of drugs, you broke that, you got an AA, and then you realized, you know, being a single mother, raising an incredible son, mm-hmm. accepting Christ in your life, and saying, I need to be consistent with what I teach my kids and what I want them, then meeting the love of your life at 48, 49 years old.
Yes.
You know, going through his cancer,
yes,
and stuff like that. Now he's cancer free. Losing the most important man in your life, your dad, mm-hmm. just a little over a year ago.
Yes, a year in March. Mm-hmm.
Wow, mm-hmm. just over a year ago. So it's still fresh.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, you just go, okay. What did Susan learn about life? I mean, where did you get your strength from? Where did you get your joy from? How do you...
I got my joy and my strength. You know, it's you said that. I shared with you that I watched the tape of the services from my dad.
Yeah.
And one thing I didn't share was the things that they said about my dad when people get up to take the mic. Some took it longer than others.
Right.
But when some of the words was kind.
Okay.
You know, he always made you feel like you were the only one in the room.
Right.
And I was like, that's me.
I thought I was the only one.
He tells metaphors. I tell stories all the time.
Yeah.
And I took away, I was able to listen and receive that I am more like my mom, my dad.
Right.
And I, in the words of Chaucer, my dad was a big Chaucer person, time waits for no one. And that's what I've learned through this. Time, when you're in your time, take the time to learn the time. And then it doesn't wait. It's going to go on.
Yeah.
So learn and keep it moving.
Well, thank you so much, Susan.
Well, thank you.
I really enjoyed this podcast, and if you guys enjoyed this podcast, please recommend it to someone else, or if you join us next week as we have another podcast, and Susan and Dennis come to the 10 o'clock service, because we only have one service. I go on Dennis. Oh, let's put it this way.
You'll see us
sometime.
Yes.
So if you come every Sunday for at least 6 weeks,
You'll see us. Maybe three of those times. Thank you.
So anyway, thank you. And remember, guys, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely, and we'll just see you next week. God bless.
Amen. Thank you.
Good job. You'll do it? I'll stop.